بسم الله بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله الذي خلقنا جميعا من طين ونفخ فينا من روحه ثم استوى على العرش وجعلنا الأنبياء لنهتدي بهم. وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الرحمة المهداة الذي بعث رحمة للعالمين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يديم لنا بهذا النعمة ويطمن علينا إن شاء الله بالخاتمة الصالحة. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created us all from mud and has given us a special gift of the soul, which he has, a secret which he has put into us. And he has given us the prophets as a means of guidance towards the way in which he intended our creation to be followed. Now, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith that the only reason he was sent, وَمَا بُعِثْتُ, the only reason, وَمَا is نَفِي لِلْجِنْسِ, anything else within that thing is, this is the main sole reason he was sent. لِأُتَمَّمَ لَكُمْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I was sent to complete to you the beautiful aspects of manners. Now we all listen of many manners of kindness, generosity, patience, all of these things we've spoken about, and we can hear many. But there's a particular characteristic the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ displayed on many occasions, and there are stories in the Quran based around this concept. And it's one could argue that it is a mafqud, it's lost in the modern era. And that's the manner or the characteristic of insaf. Insaf. Now, the word insaf, we say in Arabic nisf, which is half, something which is split in half. Insaf is the characteristic of being fair, seeing things from both sides, weighing between the two, half and half, not being one inclined to one way or another. Doesn't mean to say we don't have opinions. But the way the world goes nowadays, people sometimes have an opinion before they even analyze the situation. And there are stories which we'll talk about today, inshallah, to go around this point. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَقْسِتُ, it's فَعْلَ أَمْرُ, أَقْسِتُ, be just, be al-qist, which is a way of measuring. أَقْسِتُ, إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحَبِّ الْمُقْسِتِينَ, be just, be straight. Allah loves the balance and justice. Ibn Uyayna, when he was asked about the verse that we all hear, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, what is adl? He said, adl is insaf. To be fair is to have this concept of insaf, this characteristic of insaf. Now there are many words which you can try and translate it to, but we want to understand the concept more. Because the scholars say, لَا مُشَحْتَ فِي الْمُصْطَلَحِ, there's no, don't hold on to them, the words. The meaning, the words don't mean as much as the actual, how we apply them. And in the surah that we all read and we hear many occasions, Surah Al-Rahman, Al-Rahman, Allam Al-Quran, Khalaq Al-Insan, Allamahu Al-Bayan. So even the prerequisites before Allah talks about Qist, He says that He taught the Quran and He taught us the form of Bayan, articulation. And then He talks about the heavens and the earth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, Al-Shamsu Al-Qamar, Al-Najm, Al-Shajm Al-Qamar Al-Jadan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Mizan, He created the balance. Now, if anyone was to ask any one of us, what is Islam? We have Islam is marriage, Islam is peace, we have all of these things. If you go to the utmost deep element of Islam, it is balance. Islam is equilibrium. Having a balance in life, in everything. All of us have a misbalance in some part of our characteristic. Some people are, by nature, they call them safrawi. Full of zeal and hot-headed. Other people are balghami, a bit more chilled out. There's the four characteristics that you have, and it's all in the sort of Islamic sciences. But they say people, by nature, there is a natural part of the way we are. But there's nurture as well. Somebody saw their father doing something in a certain way, he follows. Somebody saw their mother doing something in a certain way, they follow. Some people see the society moving in a certain direction, they want to follow. So there's nature and nurture, and there's a big argument as to which one wins. and which one is the major force in the way we lead our lives. But one of the concepts which I want to always get back to is insaf, being in the middle. Now, also, a lot of people in their trade, I mean, this is just another verse, there are many verses in the Quran, but one of the verses is Surah Al-Mutaffifin, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُتَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ اَلَكْتَرُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. People who are traders, when you find that some people are like this, when they come to sell things, oh, do you know how much I put into this? Do you know how much this is worth? They really elevate the prices when they come to sell. But when they come to buy, oh, I wouldn't buy that. I could buy it, find it cheaper elsewhere. That's mutaffifin. My things are amazing. Your things are rubbish. When I buy something from you, I'll decrease the price. When I sell it to you, I inflate. Mutaffifin. There's not insaf. He's not looking at it from the other person's point of view. Always try and have that in your life. If you know in Arabic, the number 7 and 8. 7 is a V, 8 is like this. So there's a story where, it's one of the many stories people, the scholars used to try and teach. But they say that there was a man and he's saying that that's 7. And another man saying, no, wallahi it's 8. Wallahi al-azim it's 7. Wallahi al-azim it's 8. One man is looking from this side, I can see it as a V, it looks like a 7. The other man is looking from that side, it looks like an 8. So the man said, come to my side, see it from where I'm seeing. Oh yeah, it is a 7 there. And that's the problem. And what happened, for the first 5 centuries of Islam, there were specialist scientists, Islamic scientists, which were being made up. They were being articulated. Because in the days of Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba, they didn't have something called Aqidah, or Falsafa, or Tafsir, or Tawheed. They didn't have it. They had they were living Islam. So they didn't have to study all of the sciences and Balagha and Bayan and all of these things. They didn't have to because they were living it. But later on, there were sciences that developed. Some people said the Hadith is the most important. Some people said the Quran is the most important. Of course, it's the word of Allah. Some people said, no, we need to know what the purpose is, so we need to study Aqidah. So all of these people started arguing. And people said, no, Falsafa, because we need to be able to argue and articulate our concepts with the Christians and the Jews who already had a developed concept of all of these things. So when the 5th century, Imam Ghazali came along and he said, all of you are talking from one side. So he wrote a book combining all of these things and tried to give it to us and say, look, these people are all arguing good things. We can't say they're wrong. But we need to see from the other side, other point of view. And it's hard to do because emotions come in, politics come in, upbringing comes in. But Prophet Muhammad was fair even with his own enemies. Always fair and just, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَنَابِرْ مِنْ نُورِ. The people who have this concept of qist and insaf, on the day of judgment, they will be in inclined light with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bima aqsatu fi dunya, for what they have done from in good for the dunya, from qist. They were fair. They didn't overtake. Sometimes people, I mean, there's many aspects in life. You can talk on the small or the big things. But generally, if somebody's wronged you, you want to do double wrong back to them. You wanna have revenge, but you wanna get more than what they did to you. That's not adl, that's not insaf. You might want to, it's a natural feeling. You slap me once, I slap you twice. That's what people feel. But that's not Islam. It's hard to fight, that's the whole point. It's always being tested and tried. How do we get past this? Now we have a story in the Quran which all of the scholars have to study. We all should study it, but it's something that the scholars especially, whoever gives fatwa. It's the story of David alayhi salam. And you might have heard the story before. When two people came into him, and David was known to be a judge. He had the hikmah, he had the ability to judge between people. And he always used to come on with Allah's rule, and he was very just. As all prophets are given this, it's innate to them, they naturally do it. So David alayhi salam, two people came to him suddenly. And it took him a bit back, because he was used to people asking for permission. Can I come in? Can we have an appointment? We want a fatwa. But they came in suddenly. And that was the test. It took him off guard. So they came in and they said to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, one of them said, and it was two people, only one of them spoke. And he was, you know, crying. And when the tafsir, they say he was very weak and looking, you know, you feel sorry for him. You have compassion towards him. And he was saying, this is my brother. So he's nice as well. He wasn't insulting the other man. He has 99 cows. And I only have one. And this man wants to take it from me. So David alayhi salam immediately Why would you want to? You've got 99. Why do you want his? No, he immediately judged. And then he realized all of a sudden they were angels. And that was Allah sending him a test and a lesson. Because he didn't ask the other person, why do you want to take his animal? Why? Is it because maybe you have a farm that's more equipped to look after him? You want to help him? Maybe this man is doing animal cruelty and you want to look after the animal and at the same time help him. Maybe, there's many reasons. He didn't ask. He just immediately judged. You've got 99, you've got one, of course. Why should you have another one? And that's what sometimes we do. We jump to conclusions very quickly. Now, again, going back to the reasons, why did this happen? Politics and emotion and youth, especially when we're young, we have a lot of zeal. But you know, as you get older, they say time calms passion. When you get older, the passion that you have dies. And what you're left with is the results and the fruits of your actions. So what happens at the end? So you've got all this zeal and you're aggressive and you're fighting and all of these activists. And there are a lot of activists, if you really sit with them, they don't really know what they're active for. Oh, we're fighting for freedom. Freedom for what? Oh, we just want freedom. Are you against freedom? So they put the clothes of freedom and these nice words. But in essence, they have other things. They don't have a moral framework that they're really striving towards. So some people will say, oh, we want freedom of speech. But does that mean you should insult us? That's not freedom. Because there's no moral framework they're working from. It's just emotion. I want to be able to say what I want. No, you shouldn't have to. I mean, say what you want. But know that there's consequences to doing so. And again, not that we're judging, because we look from the other side. If people insult the Muslims, why? Ask yourself honestly, if you were not Muslim, how would you look at the Muslims? How would you say these people are? It depends. When you have a mixed society like we have here, a lot of people say, well, these Muslims are normal people like us. They eat, they drink, they sleep, they have families. But when people are in secluded societies away, they sometimes are not able to see. And again, Imam Ghazali wrote this amazing book called Al-Tafriqa Bayn Al-Kufr Wal-Zanadiqa, which is a book about differentiating between people who are kafir and people who haven't been shown the way. Because he said you can't clarify everyone who doesn't believe in Islam as a kafir. Reason being, he said some people are brought up to hate Islam. From the young age, their parents tell them this is a bad religion. These people are evil. These people are crazy. And now they have more images on YouTube and Facebook and Daesh and ISIS to justify their hatred. So that's one reason. So he said some people, they're brought up to hate Islam. Other people haven't been given a true picture of Islam, a true, real, honest understanding of Islam. He said those you can't justify either as being kafir because they haven't been shown the truth. And we can't just say, well, Islam is available to everyone. It's on the internet. They've heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have, but I said it could be distorted. He said it's distorted, mushawwish. It's not clear. But he said somebody who's been given a clear understanding, clear proofs, clear details, knows the wisdom and the miraculous nature of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but still chooses to deny, then you can call that a kafir. But even then, the scholars even take it a step further. Don't judge it with Allah. Don't say he's going to hell or she's going to hell. Don't say that. It's not for us to do that. Allah is the one who can judge who's going to hell and heaven. And we know the hadith. Somebody said, Allah will never forgive you for what you've done. So Allah said, أَتَتَعَالَ عَلَيْهِ, you're elevating yourself above me. I'm going to put you in hell and I'm going to put him in heaven for what you said. There's many ways out. There are many ways out and ways into heaven. There's a hadith where somebody did he did so many bad things. Nothing that you can think of he didn't do. Killings and everything you can think of. So on the day of judgment he was walking and he said, these two men, they're bound for hell. Take them. So they're on their way and the man looked back. So Allah said, call the angels and tell him, ask him what did he look back for? So the man said, I expected more of you. What do you mean? He expected more of Allah. So meaning he expected his passion to be able to forgive him for what he's done. So Allah says, for that reason I will forgive you. You actually had a good opinion of me. And that's the thing with atheists as well. Atheists are very courageous to say they disbelieve in a creator. First thing we need to ask them, who is the God that you disbelieve in? Because we might disbelieve in that God as well. A man who's sitting in the sky, yeah, we don't believe that. who's fighting with the devil. We don't believe that, no. So yeah, if that's the God you disbelieve in, say to the atheist, yeah, so don't get into these heated arguments and debates. Ask them, what God do you believe in then, or do you disbelieve in? And then maybe sometimes atheists, their opinion is so high of Allah, they say, how could this be happening in the world? How could all this bloodshed be happening? How can all this hatred and all of these crazy things that are going on, how can there be a God? Then we can sit down and talk. They might have a step in wanting to understand. Oh, well, no, actually, well, we see God beyond that. God is the creator of good and bad. And all things are tests. And we can go into detail and analyze and go into a bit more understanding. But that's the concept of insaf. Not judging and saying you're going to hell, these people are kuffar. I was with the guy once. This is when I was in university. We walked into the canteen, he was like, astaghfirullah. All these people are going to hell. Why? They're kuffar, bro. Why? Talk to them. Nah, bro, I'm not wasting my time with this kuffar. I've got my salah to do, I'm going to do. So everyone's going to hell, but he's the saved sect. Exactly like Bani Israel in the Quran. We are Sha'ab Allah al-Mukhtar, we're the chosen ones. And Prophet Muhammad said, you are going to follow Bani Israel, handspan by handspan. Everything they do, you'll do. And it's true. All the stories of Bani Israel in the Quran are in us. And we've seen them. And we can go through the Quran verse by verse, and we'll find them. Now, it comes to the reason for all of this. This could be done, spoken about for years. But the main sole reason for why we have a lack of insaf is because of ignorance. Jahl. Now in Islam we have something called jahl basit and jahl murakkab. We have simple ignorance and we have compounded ignorance. So simple ignorance is, for example, me saying, which way is north? And somebody says that way. And then somebody who knows comes along and says, no, it's this way. But then you insist, no, I believe the other guy, he said it's that way, I like him better. I'm going to follow him. It's compounded ignorance, that you don't know that you don't know. That's compounded ignorance. And then you have people with compounded ignorance being active in that, spreading it, and really causing so much fitna. That's why Prophet Muhammad saw the Sahaba talking about the Dajjal and all the fitna of the Dajjal and all of the things that are going to happen before the Day of Judgment. And he said, إِنِّي أَخْشَ عَلَيْكُمْ I fear more than the Dajjal for you, ulama as-su. I fear much more than the Dajjal, the corrupt and incorrect scholars. Because they are ulama. There are some scholars who are actually scholars. They are studied and well-read and they have everything. But there's an application of that as well. Because that's why we have al-kitab, wa-sunnah, and we have the hikmah. How to apply it. Not every hadith should be said all the time. Not every ayah should be said all the time. When Prophet Muhammad ﷺ sent the people to Najashi, did he say to them, oh, say the surah al-kafirun, قُلْ يَا أَيَّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا أَعْبُدُ. He didn't say that. So what did he say? The surah Maryam. Find the common ground. Maryam has, and Jesus ﷺ, there's a common ground with the Christians for that. Talk about that. Yes, we have differences, but don't immediately go into the difference. Have insaf. Find the common ground. It's a beautiful concept to have. It's very difficult to attain. And I just want to leave, inshallah, with three or four points which the scholars always encourage us to learn. And take them away with you, even if you take one. The first one is a saying by Imam Ghazali again. لَوْ سَكَتَ مَنْ لَا يَعْلَمْ لَفْتَفْعَ الْخِلَافِ لَوْ سَكَتَ مَنْ لَا يَعْلَمْ لَفْتَفْعَ الْخِلَافِ. If everyone who doesn't know stays quiet, all differences would go away. So he's saying, all the ignorant ones, if you don't know, just stay quiet. All differences would go away. And that's a very strong concept, because he's saying, if you haven't really studied, some people say, oh, we want to have a debate. And we're going to be having these seminars and debates and having Christian-Muslim dialogue debates. It's not dialogue, it's about this, who, oh yeah, Muslims, yeah, we beat them. Oh, yeah, look at that, we cornered them. We couldn't have an answer. That's not how the scholars did it. Imam Malik, if anyone was arguing, he'd walk away. As soon as that heat comes in, because he knows shaitan comes in, I walk away. I'm not going to argue. You bring your proof, I bring my proof. And then it's up to you. I'm not going to force you. You don't force me. But at least give me the freedom to say what I want to say. That was the first one. The second one is La inkara fil mukhtalafu fi. La inkara fil mukhtalafu fi. We are not allowed, even this is for scholars. So what do you think about us? We're not allowed to criticize or dispute a point that has had all a prehistoric, or not prehistoric, but a difference from the scholars already. So Imam Abu Hanifa says something, Imam Shafi'i says something else. It's already been established, it's already been agreed upon. We can't say that one's wrong, that one's right. The scholars are allowed to say tarjih. I encourage you to do this one. I encourage you, but I can't say that's wrong. That's why we have to study all of the madhabs and understand why people are doing this. And that's another reason what the scholars say. The next one is al-khuruj min al-khilaf awla. Getting out of disputation is better. Getting out of disputation is better. So somebody says, should we do dhuhr, for example? Should we do the dhuhr prayer for the sunnah for the dhuhr? Should we do it four before, or should we do it two? Some scholars say two, some scholars say four. If you're in a place where everyone's doing four, just do four. Don't cause the fitna. Don't say, no, I'm following this opinion. Just if you find people, they're susceptible to be, you know, they get agitated when they see things different. Because if you go to some mosques, if you go to a Hanafi mosque, and you do the iqama in a certain way, they find it weird. What's that? We're not used to that. They say it in a certain way. If you go to Egypt, and most mosques in Egypt follow the Shafi'i way, and they do it and they don't do something, why are you doing that? Don't cause the fitna. So لا إنكارف المختلف فيه. Don't argue something or dispute something that has been established. والخروج من الخلاف أولى. And to get out of the argument is better. And lastly is the concept which we study in logic, which is called الحكم على شيء فرعا عن تصوره. The judgment, the concept of judging something is just one branch of the entire conceptualization. So you need to understand the whole concept in detail to give a judgment. You can't just say, oh, this is haram, this is halal. So many times I've been in discussions and people say, but this is haram, isn't it? Why is it haram? The scholars don't like to use that word much. أَنِّي أَكْرَهُ ذَلِكَ. If you read in the books, I dislike this. I prefer not to do this. It's best to stay away from it. But to haram means that you are judged from what Allah is telling us. This is haram, you're going to be punished. And then you're putting people in a very vulnerable position. So don't say this is haram. If you don't like it, say, I'm not sure. I'm not too sure about this. Let's ask someone who knows. Let's get some more information. Have insaf. Be in that balance. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the balance of having insaf and qist and rahmah as well, and compassion in the way we conduct ourselves in this life, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will give us an easy transition to the next world. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله. The concept of insaf is a very elevated one in Islam, and there are books and books and volumes which have been written about it, and it's the concept of balancing out and seeing things for what they really are, having a fair attitude in everything. Prophet ﷺ always did this, and I'll finish on the story with that. But just before, there's a whole chapter in the Quran called Al-A'raf. Al-A'raf rijal ya'rafuna kullam bisimahum. There's a people on the Day of Judgment who are neither here nor there. Their hasanat and sayyat are both equal. They did haram things with these people, and they did good things with these people. So when they see the Ahl al-Jannah, they say, oh, we know you. Salam alaikum. And when they see the people of Nar, they know them. Oh yeah, we used to hang out together. Remember what we did? They know both. They're in the middle. That's not insaf. Going and following the acts that everyone does, that's not insaf. Because that you could... And the thing is, in the Quran, there's many books written and tafsir written about it. We don't know the end. A lot of scholars are inclined to say they will be in Jannah. Because Allah's mercy is greater than His wrath. So they will be in Jannah. Others say no, we don't know. There's a place for them. They're neither here nor there. So don't fall into the people of Araf, the people in the middle. They just go with the flow. Wherever they are, we'll just do it. No, we have our identity, we have our concepts and principles and understandings. We don't go with the flow, but at the same time, we don't make it difficult. If we need to ease on something, we ease. If we need to be stronger on something, we'll be stronger. And it's all there, trust me, everything that we can think of has been spoken about in the books, but we need the scholars to move forward and start debating modern issues. Because a lot of us are trapped in the past, still arguing issues of aqeedah, when we've got young girls and boys having relations and having kids and having tattoos and all of these things and poking each other on Facebook and poking each other, I don't know, there's other things like Instagram and Snapchats and all of these things. These are things which traditionally, if it was around, they would have written about in the books of fiqh. I'm not just saying it's haram, that dealing with it. We can't get away from the modern era, it's happening. And if we don't deal with it, it will consume our children. And they'll just go with the flow, then they'll be consumed, then we won't know where to go. I'll just end on a story about Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and how he was fair and judged. Now Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had a daughter called Zainab. And Zainab married before Islam came, before his prophecy came. So she was married to a man called Abu al-As. And Abu al-As was a very good man, honorable man, dignified man. He liked the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He was actually Zainab's cousin. And when he was away once on business, he came back and Islam had come to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and Zainab immediately accepted. But he had that traditional ego, and he didn't like the fact that she did it without his permission. She became Muslim without asking him first. So, typically, you know, and it's a problem, it's a problematic issue. Not the problems we have nowadays, oh, I'm having leftovers again. You know, they didn't complain about having leftover food or eating the problems with food, which a lot of arguments in marriage are about. It was a problem of, you did something great without asking me first, and we had a relationship which I didn't expect that. So he refused to accept Islam. Years went by, Muhammad ﷺ said, stay with him. He said to his daughter Zainab, stay with him. Then the order came down for them to go to Medina. Stay with him. He's still with her. He's not a Muslim. Stay with him. He might come around. Stay with him. Then the order came that we have to divide between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. So she had to leave. He said, there's nothing I can do, but you have to come back. Of course, she listened to her father, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Then the time came when there was a battle. So her husband's fighting on one side, and her father's on the other. And they're fighting. She still loves her husband. She has children with him. He said, he didn't criticize him. And then there came the time when he was taken as a slave. Because in the battle, the tradition then was, if we capture you, you're taken as a slave. So, what did he say, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, when he was captured? And also, the other thing, when he was captured, they had to pay fidya, something to get them out of this capture. So Zainab didn't have anything else but a chain, a necklace, that used to belong to her mother, who? Khadija. So she sent for the chain to free Abu al-As. And the chain came to Muhammad ﷺ, and he said, where did you get this chain? And he said, and the Sahaba said, this is the rules we followed. We didn't hurt anyone. They followed the rules of Islam. But we took something, a fidya, for the battle. He said, this is Khadija's chain. And he cried. And he was, how? You know, where did this come from? Who gave it to you? And they said it came from Abu al-As, because Zainab sent it as a way to get him out. And he was like, would you permit me? And the reason, and this is the concept again of insaf. He said, yes, he's fought against us, he's fighting against us, he hates us. But he said, مَاذِ مَمْتُوهُ سِهْرًا. I can't criticize him as a son-in-law. He's a great son-in-law. He's a good man. Yes, he's fighting us. He's at war with us. But he's a good man and a good husband and a good son-in-law. That is hard to do. A man who's fighting you. And he asked the Sahaba, can I ask your permission? If you don't want to, I can't force you. But can I ask your permission to free him and give the chain back to Zainab? Because this means a lot. And they said, of course, Ya Rasulullah, you can do what you want. He didn't force them, he asked. That is the concept of insaf. He's a good man. There's nothing wrong with him. It's just that we're in a very difficult situation now. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that ability. Prophet Muhammad was able to sleep every night with a free heart and never hold on to the grudges and the arguments and the bitter conflicts. Many of us are in conflicts now with each other and not talking to family. Many times I've seen crazy things. Families, not brothers and sisters, not talking for 20 years. Over what? They can't even remember. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أن يؤلف بين قلوبنا وأن يرحمنا وأن يجعل للمتقين إماما. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت. اللهم اهدنا وارحمنا واعف عنا وتقبل منا يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارحم المسلمات المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم الأموات. اللهم اجعل في قلوبنا خلق الإنصاف وخلق الرحمة وخلق المودة والمحبة واليقين في الله سبحانه وتعالى. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يهدينا ويهدى أولادنا إلى الخير والبر والطاعة. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. وأقيموا الصلاة.